members in attendance this afternoon, Representative Larson, Senator Furness, Representative Miller, MN, Regular, Juno, and Representative Cowdery and myself, the Boo Chairman. The first bill I want to take up this afternoon is HCR 28. Requesting the governor declare May 29th, 1983, Governor George A. Parks Day in honor of his 100th birthday of Mr. Parks.
Mr. Speaker, are you ready for motion on that?
Not as yet, if I may. We do have one person to testify. Mr. Swanson, would you care to say a few words, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Red Swanson, and I'm a representative of the Legislative Committee of Pioneers and a kind of the watchdog person for Igloo Number 6 in Juneau. George Parks is a member of our organization, and Leonard Harju, our president, delegated me to put together the sequence of events which will lead up to a birthday party on May the 29th out at the hospital for George Parks. And it's a real nice pleasure to be able to work for someone that has really been a true Alaska pioneer. As the resolution tells you, that George came here in 1907, has been active in all phases of this state. Just a few of the things that, as we start going into the history of what this great pioneer did. He laid out the city of Anchorage. He was an engineer, laid out the city of Anchorage. He was the person that went back to Washington and found that there was no Alaska flag there. And George came back to Alaska and said, we're gonna do something about that. And he was the instigator of the contest that eventually built the Alaska flag. As I go through, he was the man that put the First National Bank in operation, was the head of the bank here for many years in Juneau. When the legislature in the 70s had a fight over who was going to what we're going to call the highway between Anchorage and Fairbanks, the Anchorage Fairbanks Highway or the Fairbanks Anchorage Highway, somebody stepped in and said, no, let's name that highway after a real Alaska pioneer, and let's call it the Parks Highway. As I go through the many things that the man did, it's really amazing that with all of the hard work he did and all the hardships that he faced, that he's still around us at almost 100. And I can't say anything more about it. The sequence of events, if it's interesting to the committee, is that the resolution, we have made our contacts with the governor's office, and he has delegated Pete Spivey to handle the publicity. We will arrange for the television and the proper birthday party. We've contacted the people in my friend Dan Kish in our Washington delegation, who will get a complete file and everything so that they can do it properly back in Washington. Hopefully that we can make a contact with the president back there to honor him, especially on his birthday. And this resolution that's before you today is just a part in the life of what we hope to be when we get it complete will be in the first 100 years in the life of George Parks.
Thank you, Mr. Swanson. And, on behalf of the committee, I would say that I haven't polled them. I don't need to poll them.
Well,
but it's very seldom that we all agree on something in this committee and in many others, but I'm sure that every one of us agreed and I think it would be an honor for us to pass this up to the rules, to go to the floor and pass this, this resolution for a real pioneer. Mr. Miller.
I think Mr. Larson had a question.
Did you have a question?
No, I was just going to make a brief statement also.
Go ahead.
Yes, I think this resolution is very good. I would also like to note that in one of the most beautiful wayside parks within the Matanuska Susitna Borough, we do have a memorial to George Parks in commemoration of not only his governorship, but the highway which Mr. Swanson alluded to is named after him. So I think it's very appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman, I'll move that the committee pass out HCR 28, and this time I will move that we send it out with due pass recommendation.
Any objections? Hearing no objections.
Mr. Chairman, I have a friendly objection. I propose not to support this unless we're all invited to the birthday party.
I guess you got that, Red.
With that taken care of, I'll move my objection.
Hearing no objections, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gray.
The only living, I would say one of the relatives of George Park will be here, Mrs. Valentine, who has furnished us with a good share of the information. She will be here to be with George on his 100th birthday.
I hope you can all attend mine, too.
Oh, there's no doubt. They will not make it.
Anybody out there? Anybody out there? That's what's been a joke, ladies. Thank you, lady. Next bill we'll take up is House Bill 97. Act related to toll-free telephone calls to state agencies. Sue Plummer, please.
Mr. Chairman, I testified last week, and I'm here to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you. We have no more.
I would like to testify, but I didn't have an opportunity to sign up.
Fine, would you please?
Sure. Chairperson and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill. My legal name is Betty Breck. I'm in the process of changing it to my stage name of Belle Blue, so please feel free to call me Belle. I would like to testify in favor of this act on the basis that it provides greater access to the government on the part of citizens in the outlying parts of Alaska. Access to government is very important in having the government be responsive to the people. This is especially important for citizens of modest means who live out in communities of people of lower economic means, who often do not have telephones, have to go to a pay phone, pay the full day rate, wait while they get put to the right party, wait while that party looks up the information. And this can often mean a bill of $15, $20 for a simple matter to a person who oftentimes cannot afford that. The main reason why I think this bill should be passed is that it does provide access to the government and therefore makes the government more responsive to the people. We all know in the capital move issue in the last election, one of the main points was that the government should be more accessible to the people. Access to government does not rest purely on physical availability. In other words, if the government, the capital, were in Willow, people would oftentimes still have a hard time, even from the Anchorage area, getting there to carry on their business with the government. But access to government rather depends on communication between the citizens and the government. And the telephone is certainly a good starting point. I would like to elaborate and say that the state might even begin to consider a total telecommunication system so that every citizen has direct access to all branches of the government. This would certainly be a very representative type of, be a very important factor in our representative type of government if people had greater access to their government, not only by telephone, but perhaps in the future by computer, by various telecommunication means such as the teleconferencing system. So I definitely think that this is an excellent bill. It should be passed.
Any questions for the witness? If not, thank you very much for your testimony. We've all noted the fiscal note on it. You've noted the proposal for a model toll-free dial access deal through Telelink. The cost factors relating projected, I believe it's for a year, runs a little over $1 million. There's other bills floating around that increase that to probably $2 million. In your packets today, you'll find some research that I had done through our own telecommunication system. On the toll-free telephone calls, I would like to make my position clear that there's no such thing as toll-free calls. Somebody pays the bill. Somebody must pay the bill. So when they speak of toll-free calls, that may be well for the person out into the back country, but it's still costing a great deal of money. The solution to it, alongside of this proposals of House Bill 97, has a number of limitations. If you'll turn, please, to your first, this packet I speak of here. You got that, Mr. Miller? It's high associated cost, additional bureaucracy, limited directory assistance, high probability of the person not being available to take the call, busy telephone lines, difficulty monitoring cost effectiveness of system. There is, with it, on the next page, a alternative, if you will. Toll-free access to legislative information offices and the use of existing electronic mail system services extended to other branches of government. Now, what that means is, and how it would work, public advertising of the legislative information office's telephone numbers via the state TV and local media. Two, it establishes an electronic mail link between the 300 legislative terminals and the 1,500 executive branch terminals attached to their IBM data centers. Public three is the publication of a directory of the state agency offices and their functions that they perform as well as their electronic mail addresses. Four, the toll-free calls into any permanent legislative information office where the inquiry is forwarded electronically to the appropriate office. Confirmation of the receipt, the inquiry, receiving agency is then responsible to determine the form of response should it take. It should take either a call or a mail response. Where dialogue is necessary, the agency could call the requester, thus potentially reducing the telephone calls necessary and eliminating additional bureaucracy. The advantages of this system, which we already have in place, and we would be elaborating on it, extending it, we're using existing dedicated network staff and hardware, low startup cost, printed questions and verifications delivery, they can be tracked. Directory assistance, help with formulation of the question, if you will. Electronic mail access to hundreds of existing locations, high potential for reaching a large percentage of the population, high percentage of local calls versus long distance. It eliminates potential for abuse, screening of frivolous calls and harassment calls. This could be a very important factor in there, too. additional considerations. The executive branch is exploring the establishment of the link between all of the existing state electronic mail systems. They currently have a proposal from a private firm to provide the service. Now, this would add the university system, the marine system, highway system, and the rural education network. Exploration of a voicemail pilot in the legislature would also enhance the approach by providing the internal legislative telephone communications, public access to committee schedules and information, plans for the integration of these technologies in the legislative network. Now that costs for an additional cost of $72,000, I might add. Three is the dial-up computer access could be provided in Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, to this network for the public use. Four, the continued expanded use of the existing teleconference network will also provide options for contact with state government. Now, this approach will improve awareness of their existence and services, number one. We do have the capability of doing it now. Five is collect calls to informational offices. Now, the total purchase of the hardware, cost factors, run $188,000 for a year's program. Do you have a statement? $188,000 to establish a total communications network for rural areas, the whole nine yards, excuse the expression, versus over a million in the first pilot program that House Bill 97 is bringing about. Now, to me, I think it's worthy of a great deal of information. This is the proposal here. I don't want to see us go into a pilot program on the basis of toll-free phone calls, and there is no such thing. So you get into the cost factors as over $1 million. We can do the same thing, I'm almost positive, for $188,000. Now, I'd rather have a program, a pilot program, for $188,000 and find out that it doesn't work, against a million something and find out that it doesn't work, when this has the great potential of doing what we want it to do. And it does have discretion attached to it. So that's where I'm coming from. Mr. Larson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think in a way, in response to Bell who testified earlier, I think it's not a secret that I was one of the major proponents for relocating the capital to Willow. And I think at that time, one of our objections was not that Juneau was not accessible, but it was accessible at a great cost to the government. And I would see this as increasing the cost to the government. I guess I'm not speaking like a capital mover now, Mr. Chairman, because I would be speaking and trying to prevent something that would increase the cost of being able to reach your government officials.
So, Mr. Larson, the capital move is irrelevant at this point.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was brought up earlier as saying this would be a way of doing away with it. My point was that this would be a way of increasing, because it would be increasing the cost of accessibility to the state. And that's what the pro movers were complaining against. The cost, not the accessibility.
Mr. Miller?
I obviously have a point of disagreement with my colleague the other end of the table.
You have a what?
A point of disagreement on this issue.
Okay.
I strongly support the access via telephone. And I would feel exactly that same way no matter where the capital is located. If the move was in the Willow, if it had been successful, I would want Juneau to be connected to the new capital. in Willow.
Yeah, Mr. Miller, I'm going to clear you out of order.
Well,
I don't want to hear about that capital more than anything.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I think your point is well taken.
Thank you.
And so if, like I said, I'd like to forget the whole subject.
So, let's try it here.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, but the thing I wanted to raise was, you were talking about the figure, and I've already forgotten the figure, for the pilot program.
$188,000.
Now, I have something here from Telelink Communications. This particular document, March 31st, 1983, and it shows a total annual cost of $1,085,000. So it looks to me like we're talking about the same amount of bucks in either case. Am I not right on that?
Well, there's a difference between $188,000 and $1 million something.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Telelink is the outfit that opposed your $188,000.
Yeah.
That's just one element of the total package. The total package, as I read it, comes to $1,085,000.
No, that's not correct.
What is this for Telelink that says $1,085,000?
If I may defer for a moment, Carol, would you make some statements on that?
Yes, sir.
We can't hear you.
Representative Miller, this proposal that Representative Baboon mentioned is different from Telelink. It comes from a different source.
This is not Telelink?
No.
No, sir.
Who is
our own system that we have in our own telecommunications organization that we now have in place, that for an additional $188,000 we'd have the same capabilities as we would in the telecom.
Okay, now let me pursue this further then. I understand that this explains a little bit why there's a little bit of difference in methodology between Telelink and this. If I read this correctly, you would not have voice-to-voice communication. Am I correct on that? This would just call in and you would have access to it?
No. You would have the capability of voice contact.
Somebody in...
necessary,
in
yes.
Kotzebue can call you.
That's right. That you would have it. But it would go through one of the teleconference sites, but we'd have voice-to-voice between us. Yes.
In essence, what it would be, residents of Haines would call their local information office, would be a real live person who would take the request and perhaps maybe get additional information, and then would take that request through electronic mail existing Omnicom capabilities and send it directly to that person.
Well, you're saying something different from what the chairman just said. He just said that somebody in Kotzebue could talk to me on the phone. You seem to be saying that they'd call a Kotzebue operator. The operator would, what, teletype down?
Yeah.
And so yeah, that's not person-to-person communication.
But they would be talking, if that telephone call came in to Kotzebue, they would be talking to some person there, and then from there on we'd go with the
if I'm a taxpayer, I don't want to talk to somebody in Kotzebue. If I'm in Kotzebue, I don't want to talk to Kotzebue legislative information officer. I want to talk to me or Tabasco or the representative from Kotzebue. In other words, this is not direct communication. It's still a message. It's a glorified Western Union, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's useful, but it's not what the bill is all about.
But isn't the intent? Isn't our intent to have communications, instant communications, period? That's the bottom line. Now the point is, how do we get there? Do we spend $1 million to do it, or we can get the virtually the same deal without the voice attached to it?
I guess it's just a judgment call, but to me, nothing replaces a real human voice talking on the other end. I mean, the person you want to talk to. You know, I guess the three of us from this district are a little bit lucky here because our people can call us up, and we can hear from them. And I appreciate hearing from real officials, not just getting a message. And I think if we institute this, you'll have the same appreciation for actually hearing real people at the other end expressing and just sending a message. You got that, essentially. I mean, we have, in a sense, this, because we get tons of those little blue or yellow communications.
It extends much further.
Yeah.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I so much concur that the intent of this is to, in fact, the bill is to increase the communication between government officials and the general constituency. And we've seen in a number of instances the costs run from $1 million to, I believe, $2.5 million, $2.4 million as prepared by the fiscal note. The question is, can we afford that? Or is it prudent to look at some other kind of system in order to at least partially address it? Now, we seem to be approaching this as if this is the only way that we're going to have some communication. The option of a constituent calling up collectors, I would assume, is always there. The option of going through this particular system at least assures a ready, accessible person that can address a concern. I would assume here, let's say, for example, Mr. Chairman, a person calls into the Department of Education and wishes to speak to the commissioner. Needless to say, the commissioner does not have the time nor the talent to handle all those requests. At least someone would have an ability of screening that call, determining what the nature of the call, and then channeling that to the most effective person that can respond to it. And we can do that. Now, I want to make sure the cost factors here.
Can I interrupt? You keep saying channeling the call. There's no such thing as a call. It's just a message. It's a piece of paper. The call, the commissioner, nor his staff, or anybody else is going to get a call. All they're going to get is a piece of paper saying that somebody called.
Yeah, I think I understand that too, but I understand here that, again, it's another positive means of communication that's available to the constituent. Mr. Chairman, just a point of clarification. There is the 72, the 10, and the 50. I would assume that those particular costs, what is that, 130,000 is included in the 188,000.
That's right.
So for 188,000, at least we've addressed the concern and made it available on a pilot basis now. See if it works. For at least, I would assume, 1 year, an additional communication means. Now, this versus, say, $2.5 million of cost, and I guess I have a concern here, and I appreciate your comments, but to have a totally toll-free, which there is no free ride, as you well know, to provide toll-free calls to the constituency could be quite expensive. I take note that, personally, in my office right now, based upon the calls that we're accepting and the calls that we're making, we're spending in excess of, I believe, about $700 a month in phone calls right now. That just went off us. So that could really be an expense to the state if we just simply open that up. And I would encourage this committee to look at, again, some other means, still with the intent of reaching out and addressing this problem to some degree.
Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Yeah, my only comment was going to be that the intent of this bill is really not to improve communication, because we'd be simply using the systems that are presently in place. It would simply be to determine who's going to pay for that communication that takes place, whether it should be the state or the person who initiates the call.
Mr. Crowley.
Thank you. Well, it seems to me the toll-free concept of the original bill would be, I think it would really could be a bag of worms. I think the cost would be incurred whether the contact was made or not with the person that you tried. And I think that we're all, what if there was a call made right now? We're all sitting in a meeting. How could we respond to that call? So I think that, and we're all not available at the same time. I had about an hour that I answered phone calls that so-called free time, but mainly because the House was fairly short session today. And the rest of my time until late in the evening is either in meetings. You know, I'm very rarely available, and I don't see why. I mean, if we had toll-free situation, I think that would that wouldn't change that fact that we, as legislators, who they want to contact, appreciate that, but I don't know that that's a practical, if that's possible or even practical. So,
did I respond to that?
Yes, Mr. Miller.
Yeah. Again, using Jim Nuck and Bill Ray and myself as the guinea pigs, it works beautifully. Somebody call, I mean, people call me constantly because when you know, I'm here, they've got a toll free number. And if I'm in, if I'm on the floor of the House, my staff says he's on the floor of the House, and he'll call you back, and I do. Or a staff member says he's on the floor of the House, but can I help you? And fortunately, I've got a pretty good staff, and 99% of the time, they can help him, and there's no need for me to call back. But you know, it's just no big deal. It's you know, so you're out. It's just like when you're home, somebody calls you up, you're at work, and you can call them later when you're free. But it, it's no big deal. I think people make a much bigger bugaboo out of this than could possibly exist, because I'm sure the three of us locally here get a lot more calls and will continue to get a lot more calls than any one of you do, just because we are, everybody knows we're you know, just right across the street, so to speak. So I'm sure we get more calls per capita than probably anybody else. And so if it doesn't impact our time too adversely, I'm sure it's not going to impact anybody else's.
Now, I disagree. It is a big deal, and just the difference of the cost. I think the cost, the same thing would exist if somebody wanted to talk, they could send this message that they want to personally talk by the chairman's approach to it, and that us legislators, any of us, would respond just as normal as we'd normally respond to all calls. So the contact and the intent, I think that I'm just not, in my own mind, satisfied that this was a, even though it's, it would be nice if it could work, I don't think it's a very workable situation for the very fact that we're going to have a lot of wasted calls that somebody's going to have to pay for in order to make the contact to initial. So perhaps that the committee's...
Any other thing from the committee, Mr. Larson?
I was just going to ask you if anyone has any information. Has this been a big public demand in certain areas? Are there people who, you know, have been requesting toll-free telephone calls? Because I know within my own area that, you know, I have let it be known that anyone who wants to call may do so and reverse the charges. And, you know, I might get one call a week, something like that. So I'm wondering what the reason for the legislation, I guess, is in public demand.
Well, first place, if there isn't much demand, it's not going to cost much. You know, the cost will be considerably less than what we think it's going to be. And I just happen to be one that feels that the public has a right to communicate with their listeners. There's a roughly, very, very rough comparability between this, for instance, and the toll-free IRS number that people all over the United States use. And it's, you know, the IRS keeps trying to get rid of it because they don't want to hear from those people. But Congress keeps insisting that it stay in there because they know that people do want to have the opportunity to get the right information. And if all we're going to do is provide them with a way of sending some messages, the problem is somebody calls in, they've got a problem. They don't like a bill. They want to indicate that they don't like a bill. So they call in. Most of the time, as you well know, they don't even have the right bill because the bill's been introduced and it's been amended a couple times in committee. So the information that they're basing it on is not even accurate. If all you get is a message, you don't even have the opportunity to put that person right until you send them a letter, a response, or something like that. If somebody calls you, you can say, hey, don't worry about it. It's been taken care of in committee. Or, hey, you better worry about it. It's gotten worse since the last version you saw, or whatever. But it's, I just don't think there's anything comparable to real-life communication. incidentally, exactly the same arguments that I'm hearing right now were the ones that were opposed to the teleconference setup until we tried it and found out it worked like a charm. And yet, essentially, the same arguments were used against that that very successful system.
Mr. Miller, with the expansion of our own telecommunication system that works like a charm, we'd have virtually the same capability, more people would be able to use it at less cost for the state, because we're the ones that are paying the bill for it. Now, as far as the IRS goes, maybe they've got the money to do it. I don't think we ought to be spending that kind of money, but if we can get a capability other than picking up the phone, and as you just said, half the time they don't know what they don't know what bill they're really talking about because it's been changed, and some of them don't know the changes. So it's a repetitive thing, and we're spending money on it. Secondly, it's good for your constituents here. They can call across town. They can do all this easy. They can call four or five times if they don't catch you and want to talk to you personally. But if they try that with me in my area, how much is that going to cost the state on a collect call basis? For absolutely nothing, and they will do it. Whereas if they send me through this whole system based on this new capability on this other situation, they can say, please call me at a certain number, boom, at a certain time. We still have the time differentials throughout the whole place. You're really, we just brought to my attention also that we're talking legislators, we're talking another story versus agencies. Half of the time, they switch you from one department to another, to another, to another, to another. This system would get them right into where they want to talk if they do, without the huge cost factors that we've got. I saw something here, cost of immediately available service based on a previous stated assumptions, $2.26 million, long distance service costs only. I don't think this state is in the position to go into to this at this time. You say that it works like a charm. Tell me. There are some areas that perhaps don't have the capability of talking or communicating with a legislator, if you want to leave it to legislators. How many of them really call up the agency?
Right,
if they're not calling them up,
right now they can't.
If they're not going to call them, why have the bill to begin with? That's my question.
Because they can't right now. It costs some money. There's a lot of people out there that have the money to make long distance calls to the state that's supposed to be serving them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we're all on the same communication line here. The ultimate objective of the legislation is to provide at least another vehicle that the constituency can communicate. I had an opportunity to speak to Representative Locker, and I think there was a question from Representative Larson as to who was asking for this or was there a demand out there. What I would respectfully ask the chairman to do is to perhaps postpone action on the bill today. Give us a chance to work again with Representative Locker and have a chance to share this information. It's my understanding she is supportive of going with this alternate system in view of the cost, the lessening of the cost. In fact, it is a pilot program, and this will give us a little bit better handle.
Any other statements for the committee members regarding regarding the bill today, Mr. Larson?
Just a brief one, Mr. Chairman. Back some times ago, I remember a president stating, "That's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." And it seems to me we're asking, in cases like this, an awful lot of the state to pay for what, in my opinion, should be personal expenses for the benefits of living in Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Mr. Slight rebuttal on that. That same president initiated some of the greatest social programs to help out the people who can't afford things like making telephone calls long distance to the president that's ever lived. And I think in this case, it's not just asking what you can do for your country. It's asking who, you know, who can communicate with their legislators and with the agencies. If you happen to have enough money, if you happen to live, you know, in an urban situation, for instance, and have a fat job and have a good, nice discretionary income, sure, a call or several calls is probably not going to break you. But if you don't, it's just another example of being, you know, out in the cold and no access to the government that's supposed to be serving you. And in this case, no access to the government that's spending your share of Alaska's petroleum wealth, which of course fuels this entire state. None of these people out here are paying income taxes anymore. I just can't conceive of us making a decision that we don't want to let these people talk to us.
Yes, Mr. Cotter.
Yeah, thank you. I think that the effort should be made, the service should be made available with the plan that you described to us. With all we're asking is that the people that want to make the contact make the effort to go through the system. The teleconference system. I don't think that's asking too much to be in contact with the government. So I think.
Let the record show Mr. Vasquez joined us. Vasquez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I have a different perspective, obviously, than those of you who can get on the real cheap rates between here and Anchorage. MCI or Alascom provide extremely cheap rates compared to what any one person pays for from Tuxuk Bay. As far as using the Legislative Information Office and the teleconferencing system is concerned, only Bethel has it. And this committee passed out a bill, as part of the bill, that included Tuxuk Bay, but I also have 23 other villages who find it a great expense to be calling me. They call me collect anyway, but I'm finding that I'm having to do a lot of their busy work for them with different departments. That's who's asking for this system. With the new administration and with DOT as slow as it is, with the hepatitis B program in line and everyone wanting to call Department of Health and Social Services, they are asking, but they're calling me to do the calling for them because they call me collect. And DHSS will not accept a collect call from Nepaskiak, which has one village home. They are the ones asking for this system.
But if the present system could be expanded for a very small amount of money comparison to the telephone calls, and they had the communication system, they could get into those areas. Would that not suffice? Or does it really have to be voice to voice?
If in fact a person from Nepaskiak calls and says, well, I'd like to ask Stuart Ribot about the hepatitis program, and he just leaves a message, and it's a village phone, the guy's not going to sit at the phone all day to wait for the phone call to be returned.
But you'd have that problem anyway if you couldn't get him.
You get somebody else there. I mean,
then we could get somebody else to do the other
one. Problem is I don't have phones in all the villages. I have one
and
village phone.
There are some places that situation wouldn't work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I agree, but at the same time, it's a large expense for them to be paying. And if that can be, and if the price of that can be cut down, sure. But I think in terms of my constituents and a lot of rural Alaska, other rural Alaskans, wanting to get a hold of the state government officials or their legislators, this would help immensely.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that a large point. The only point I'm trying to make here is that government is a responsibility of all of the people. And in exercising their rights, they also have to exercise some of their responsibilities. And I really mean this, and I'm talking against the motherhood issue. I think people are more responsive when they know they're a little bit responsible for their actions. And I think picking up a telephone, knowing that you're going to have to pay the cost, it's going to make you a little bit more responsible. I know it's not a popular stand to take, but it's the way I feel.
So House Bill 97 doesn't meet with your approval, then? Are we saying that this is, you're objecting to spending that kind of money?
Well, because I said before, the only question to me on House Bill 97 is who pays for the access.
That's what I mean.
I think the person who wants it should be willing to pay something towards it.
I guess we're trying to say, and I guess Cotter, he tried to say it here, he says we're trying to get the most bang for the buck spent. Still give them a capability of being able to communicate. I don't think that the voice is worth the money we're going to spend on it. I just don't think the state is capable of doing it unless we want to repeal the dividends and use that money to fund this program. Somewhere the bucks have got to come from someplace. So if they want communication, maybe that's maybe the way to do it. Repeal the dividends and put it into this program, and then we'll all have communications, be able to talk to each other over the phone. It's great.
It's getting a better idea. Let's just forget about sitting and we'll just pay for this service for the next 300 years.
No problem. Did I get an argument out of me there?
Quote him on that.
Do not quote me on that. I lost my head for a moment.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Larson.
Yeah, I too have been frustrated at times trying to call different state agencies. However, it was my experience when I tried to call different state agencies, and it's been my experience that a number of people have called me, that the vast majority of the calls are they want the state to do something for them. Provide them money for this, or provide them money for that, or to operate this program for them. I said enough. Thank you.
Any other questions the committee would like, or statements the committee would like to make at this point? It's the intention of the chair to hold this bill over, because I'm really not satisfied that this is the way to go on. And I want another proposal or a committee substitute to put another one in for much, much less money, with more details as how it can be worked with a backup on it to begin with. This just came to me today, and it isn't quite as complete as I'd like to have it from a cost standpoint.
Chairman, can I inquire when you intend to bring the bill up? One way or another, I'd like to see the bill move out of committee.
Well, I can move it out now. As far as I'm concerned, if I move it out, I have nothing to substitute for it, and I don't think we'll pass the committee. Okay, we pass out of the committee, House Bill 97, under the present circumstances. So I'd prefer to hold it until I get something else that will make the bill just a little bit more palatable, and then pass it out of committee. We'll take it up to as soon as we can possibly get it, the information back in. Got a better proposal, I'd say.
Mr. Chairman, who provided this information?
This was provided by Legislative Affairs. In the present system, we now have an operation that's an expansion of the system to do the very things that we've been discussing here now. Is there anything further to come before the committee? Yes, but
I just wanted an opportunity to amend my testimony. I was not aware earlier of this proposal to expand and improve the present facilities at lower cost and with more control over the potential cost. And just listening to what you're saying, it sounds to me that we have the capability to provide access, which is the important thing that I was interested in, making the government more accessible to the people, but also keeping the cost at a reasonable and controllable level. So I would like to just amend my testimony to support the proposal that would improve the existing facility.
Thank you. Any further come forward to the committee? If not, we're going to hold the bill over. We'll schedule it as soon as we get the balance of the information. It should be very short. There's nothing further to come before the committee. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.
Thank you. This was for our...